In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. James's epistle talks about the tongue and the damage the tongue can do. And Peter certainly was a person firsthand knowledge of that reality. Peter was constantly putting his foot in his mouth and getting his tongue twisted. James said, "Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire." Well, I think we can all relate to the reality of uncontrolled fires, can't we? With everything we see on the evening news now, it's the major news item. And I looked at the CAL FIRE website last night, and it said that right now, today, there are 20 active wildfires across the state. And of the 20, only 5 are contained. So there's havoc being wreaked around our state with this idea of uncontrolled fires. And this idea of tying it to what damage the tongue can do, I guess, could remind us how lucky we are that we're adults now, because we've outgrown all that, right? We don't do any of those things. We don't have those problems with our tongue saying the wrong thing at the wrong time. It's just an issue for children. Well, what we actually do is we learn how to do it better, don't we? I guess we learn how to be passive-aggressive about it sometimes, and deciding that, well, that was just a white lie, so it's okay because it's just a white lie. I remember as a child being told the saying, "Sticks and stones will break my bones, but bad words." Yeah. Do you believe that? I don't either. I don't believe it at all. I've certainly felt a lot of pain through things said to me over time. I've heard people being told they were fat, or they were skin and bones, or told, "I don't like you anymore," or "You're ugly," or "I'm going to spend time today with my best friend." I heard that once being said to one of my daughters once when she was little. Well, there are all those kinds of things that are maybe not even passive-aggressive. Maybe they're just aggressive, that are ways that the tongue can be used to start fires that create all sorts of damage. But, you know, there are also ways that words can hurt when that's the last thing we want. We're trying to help, but we end up saying words that hurt. And that's part of what I really wanted to focus on today, because I think we have a responsibility as Christians to really pay attention to that. And I think we've got some great guidance from Scripture on how to address it. So first, I want to give you a few examples in my own life experience of intentions to help that didn't. When my wife Ruth was diagnosed with breast cancer, it was only 6 months into my ministry as a newly ordained seminarian in South San Jose. And so Ruth went through x-rays and CT scans and ultrasounds and MRIs trying to figure it out and where it was. And they ended up taking several biopsies in order to actually find it. And then there was the long wait for diagnostic results. And that all led to her having to go through 3 surgeries, go through chemotherapy, go through radiation treatments. And after she'd gone through all that, it looked like they had licked it. And just to read ahead to let you know, it's like 17 years later and she's still cancer-free, thank you, God. Mm-hmm. Right? But she started sharing with people she knew that it looked like she was a breast cancer survivor. And she had one person say to her, "You know, my cousin had the same thing, and she died." Another person said, "You're wearing the wrong color. It's the color of death. You shouldn't wear that color." Another example. A friend of mine had his annual physical, and his PSA was a lot higher. And so he ended up going through x-rays and a CT scan and a biopsy to make sure they were right, and they were. And as he was waiting to get those final results and praying and asking for friends to pray and losing sleep and being anxious and waiting, one of his friends said to him, I had to write this down because I couldn't believe it. They said, you know, if you took certain vitamins and certain supplements, that would remove the cancer. And my friend said, stop right there. This isn't helping me. You need to stop. I had one case of a friend whose mother passed away, and after a few months, my friend kept experiencing waves of emotion because she just missed her mother so much, and she would start crying uncontrollably and sobbing uncontrollably, and one of her friends said, you should be over crying by now. You need to get on with your life. So those are personal examples. I can think of lots of others. You must be strong for your children. It's better to have loved and lost than never to have loved at all. It's a blessing. I know just how you feel. That's probably one of the ones that bothers me the most. And I brought a book. The title is, I Know Just How You Feel. And the table of contents has about 30 or more of these kinds of sayings that really are not helpful. And people who hear them all have their own personal situation they're going through. And even if we've been through something similar, none of us can presume that we're fully aware of what they're going through, because we're not them. And we need to honor that everybody has their own journey through these things that happen in life. So what do we do? How do we respond? Well, I think we have a great answer from Scripture. Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus and said this, let everything you say, be kind and helpful, so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. I think that's the key. An encouragement to others. That's our job, to be sources of encouragement. He is saying that being Christian means that our words need to be carefully chosen to encourage people. Even people we disagree with, people we don't like, people who maybe have hurt us through words that they've used. I remember one time we were just having conversations about spiritual gifts. And what we were recognizing was that usually the spiritual gifts that I have, I don't know about, because it's just part of the way God's wired me, right? And it's a natural kind of who I am. So I'm not really able to detect probably my own spiritual gifts. I need to have other people to help me understand what those gifts are. And so we were having that kind of conversation, and somebody came to Ruth and said, well, I know what your spiritual gift is. And she said, well, I don't. What is it? I don't think I have any gifts. She said, you have the gift of encouragement. And she just went home beaming, like, yeah, that's a great gift. I love that gift. And she has honored that she feels she has the gift of encouragement. I think we should all pray for that gift of encouragement, because I think that's the key of how we bridle the tongue. It's the key of how we control the kinds of things that come out of our mouth, to make sure that we are honoring the person we're talking to. I think a lot of times we don't know what to say, and so we feel like we have to fill the quiet with words. And that concerned me so much as a young adult that I would not engage in any pastoral visits because I was so afraid I was going to say something wrong. And this was actually a book from one of the courses I took in pastoral caregiving. And it really helped me a lot to recognize, yeah, you can say the wrong thing. And we need to learn as Christians what to say. And I think Paul had the key. We think about, what can I say that's going to be a source of encouragement for that person? And maybe it ends up being as simple as just touching them on the arm and saying, I'm sorry. Or looking at them and saying, I want you to know I care about you and I'm praying for you. Or to say, I want to come over and pay a visit. I want to help you with a ride you need to the doctor's or to the grocery store. I want to come over and just have a cup of coffee with you. When can I come? Being Christian isn't only about believing in our hearts that Jesus is the Son of God. It's not only believing that God loves us and has forgiven us for all the goofy things we humans do. Being Christian is also about our behavior. And that's what James was writing about. It's not just about faith. It's about what we do with our faith. How do we enact it? How do we empower it? How do we live it out? And James reminds us that it's a very important piece of our faith-driven behavior. Maybe not just a natural response, but thinking about how does my faith drive me to behave to these situations, to use our tongue, and in these days, our email, our Facebook posts, our text messages, right? All of those ways we communicate. When you talk with kindness and caring, you're acting like Christ. You are being Christ-like. And that's our goal as Christians, to live into the image of Christ. So this idea of thinking about the use of our tongue and thinking about it always being words of encouragement are the focal point, I think, of the scripture for today. May God always help us use a kind and encouraging tongue, one that never starts fires. Amen.